got too much to do. It's got you feeling blue. Put a little flag in your day.
Subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
The following content contains references to suicide and may not be suitable for young or vulnerable ears. As part of a series to highlight the mental health impact on a young person who's lost a parent to suicide, I'm joined in studio by Anne Staunton, CEO of Rainbows Ireland. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Could you firstly maybe tell us about Rainbows Ireland and the work it does?
So Rainbows is an organisation that is almost 40 years in Ireland now, and we support children and young people in the aftermath of a bereavement or in the after or through family change as a result of parental separation or divorce. As I say, we started about 40 years ago when a time when children's grief and loss, it wasn't even understood that that a death may impact on them. And the word parental separation really wasn't in the Irish narrative 40 years ago. And we have grown and developed in that service. So at the very core of the work we do is group support, bringing children of a similar age and young people together in groups who have experienced either a bereavement and then in separate groups if it's in relation to parental separation or support. And we work through a large number of registered Rainbow centres across the country, and there are service level agreements in place with all of those, and we train their staff under those policies and procedures, and then they bring this group support back into their local community. And so we work with primary schools, secondary schools, particularly the family resource centres, which is the public face of Rainbows, and youth projects, both Youth Work Ireland and some Feroiga projects, and various community development projects around the country. And we also work with development projects like the Inishowen Development in Donegal, and we work with the parenting hubs also. Rainbows is in some of the hospitals, and it's in various other communities, particularly where professionals are working, supporting, meeting young children and young people who are impacted in this way. So that's kind of an overview of what we do. It's if we were to talk about where it sits on a bereavement care pyramid, we are very much an early intervention listening service. We are not counselling or therapy. And for many, many children and young people, it's the first support that they may engage with. Now, maybe later on in life, as they grow and develop, they may need further support. But and some of them can attend a Rainbows group 1 year, skip a year, come back another year. And we have lots of children and young people that do that. So it's it's providing a safe space for children and young people. And what I mean by safe, it's so every group has two trained facilitators, and they provide this space of caring and total positive regard and trust, and they build the relationship with the members of that group. They make a connection. They're talking. Our work around bereavement is very focused. We're a targeted bereavement service, so we're focused very much on bereavement and also on the impact of family change following parental separation or divorce. So it is very specific, and they work through a 9-week group support, which is underpinned by 4 series of programs and many resources. But actually, what's really important is the meeting of each other in the group, meeting children of their own age who are going through, who have the same feelings. That's really how it works, who are meeting the same situations as themselves. And so the resources are underpinning that and supporting the development of all of that through the 9 weeks. So when children, particularly younger children, when they come in, they don't know whether to look at you. They're kind of looking down. They kind of slump into the chair. And at the end, they're standing that bit straighter. They're looking at the facilitators, but they're talking to each other and finding that they are not the only one. So in all of the years doing this work, the majority of children and young people, that's what they say. I'm not the only one, or we're not the only family.
And I should say at this point, by the way, that I know how magical the work is because I have done, I'm a trained facilitator and coordinator at Rainbows Ireland, and I have been for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, and I've done lots of groups with them, and they do magical work, and it does work out exactly as it's trained to do.
Yes.
But in the instance of this particular discussion, do Rainbows have children bereaved as a result of suicide of a parent attending some of their groups?
Right. So that's a really good question. So traditionally, and still to this day, our policy has been taking into account international research and working with the Office of Suicide Prevention in particular, that children and young people whose bereavement is as a result of suicide need to have professional support before they come into a Rainbows group. And that has been our policy for the last 20 years. But particularly since COVID, now it had started to happen before COVID, we meet many children and young people who are in our groups. You see, support for children around bereavement, there isn't a lot around the country. And so parents, and particularly out in the country areas, in more remote areas, parents want their children to have support. And so we have a very elaborate enrolment form, but parents, sometimes we're not told exactly what the result of the bereavement was. And what we were finding was then suicide bereavement was coming up in our groups. So coming out of COVID, a number of children and young people presented whose bereavement was as a result of suicide. And they wanted to be in a Rainbows group, not necessarily because of the suicide, but they wanted to be in the group to meet others whose parent had also died. The death of a parent is absolutely profound in the life of a child, and they wanted to meet others to see how they were getting on, how they were feeling. But because their bereavement was as a result of suicide, our policy was kicking in. And it was the catalyst for us to go and talk to particularly the Office of Suicide Prevention, who are the body in this country who advise and guide and develop policies and procedures around the whole area of suicide. And out of that, to cut a long story short, we were put in touch with the National Suicide Research Foundation in Cork. And we have a preliminary research done. So we upskilled a number of facilitators in 14 of our centres, only public centres, and at primary level. And so we've had children bereaved as a result of suicide in those groups. So we are now in the first phase of that research has happened, and the second phase is due to begin with the National Suicide Research Foundation in Cork starting in September.
You've worked with so many children in this scenario. What kind of impact can that type of loss have on a child? The loss of a parent due to suicide.
Okay, well, a significant issue is going back to kind of peeling it away or unpacking it a bit, is the reality is that a lot of children, parents choose, they think it is better that children are not told. It's kind of the issue that's at the core of this, what children have been told. And children, particularly younger children, don't understand death. They don't understand the finality and the permanence of death. And the word suicide for children who are only developing maybe expressive language and their brain development is at a very early stage. That word suicide, they don't understand that. But then if we go up the primary school age group a little bit, some of them do realise the implications. And I mean, a significant impact. I mean, all children, when their parent dies, they're absolutely devastated. But when they realise that this parent may have, do you know what children say? My dad made himself die, or my mum made himself die. And the impact of that in terms of of who they are. You see, all children blame themselves on everything, on separation, on divorce, on a bereavement. They think that something they said or didn't say may have caused this, or something they did or didn't do. So that's their natural default position, which is at the very core of the work that we do in Rainbows, is trying to help them adapt and to realise that actually that's not true. So if they are taking in this situation where a parent has taken their own life, that feeling of rejection is very powerful, and abandonment. That it would probably be, why was I not loved enough? Was I not important enough? Did I not matter? And the other side of all of this in relation to that parent, because children, depending on their stage of development, they're not able to balance this out. And so it's very, very significant. And the other thing that's emerging is it's in the research also, that parents try and protect their children with the truth. But actually, for example, in Rainbow's groups, Ireland is quite a small place. And it has happened in a group that a child has been told in a group, actually, your dad didn't die of a heart attack. He, as it were, made himself die. And so we have all of these in our enrollment form. We have a disclaimer about this, but we can't control what comes out in a group. We try and inform parents of the risk of this. So our default position at the moment is, unless you see, telling a child. So what we would say, if key aspects of what happened in an age appropriate way is communicated, so that can be built on as that child grows and develops. And the research definitely shows identifies children who were told the very opposite, and in later life then find out how their parent died. This is their parent, their flesh and blood. And they really struggle then. It impinges, it almost weakens the trust that child might have had with the other parent. And so their trust in the world is everything a lie type of thing. And hugely acknowledge how difficult it is for a remaining parent trying to manage all of this. But actually the research is giving us very clear guidance on this, and we are delighted to be part of this research.
What you pointed out there, and I've seen in groups myself, you know, children through family change and separation and any type of bereavement, they do have this guilt and this blame, and they do have this anger. And even if they know, if they're told about another little person, they think they shouldn't have any guilt or they're not to blame. They still feel that. So how does peer support that Rainbows provides help? How do they help each other through that guilt and blame?
Because it's meeting others in a similar situation. It's hearing. So the whole 9 weeks is working through a program, working through various resources that give opportunities to talk about different aspects. And there's a huge concentration on feelings, the ordinary everyday feelings, helping them to identify and to link that with how they feel. But hearing that in others and meeting others who are who have similar feelings in a very similar situation, it actually reduces that intensity, that feeling of being the only one, of being different, of being so isolated. And many, many children in a Rainbows group, particularly in a public one, Rainbows, parents stay in contact. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like finding their tribe. So, and that reduces that depth of feeling, and actually Dr. Dan Siegel, a leading child psychologist across the world, he will say that the real impact in something like peer group support and having feelings in all its widest forms addressed and talked about and acknowledged and validated, that actually gives children and young people, it reduces the intensity. It doesn't change how they feel, but it reduces the intensity and the feeling of being so overwhelmed and so upset that they are the only person, because children are still developing and they think they're the only person in the class, in the school, in the street, in the village. So it is that coming together and meeting others. It is very, very powerful.
And you did mention there the difficulty navigating the shocking solo parenting of the remaining parent, and we have spoken to people as part of this series on that. But could you explain a little bit about how, like, the children do grieve differently to adults?
Very definitely. And they do grieve differently. And I suppose to sum up in a way, so we as adults, when somebody very significant dies belonging to us, we tend to go into a very sad mode. It dominates our thinking. It probably impinges on how we engage with our everyday life, and we are very impacted both in our thoughts and both physically, emotionally, socially by all of that. But we remain in that for. It varies with different people how long that period is. But when children are told of a death, you see, depending on their age and stage of development, young children don't understand death at all. And it's very hard. And you read in various research that by the age of 9, all children understand death. I would question that, because most children, they don't realise the impact. It's until that reality starts to hit when normal life goes back. So, the key piece is that children, because their brains, their psychological, emotional brains are developing, they're only able for difficult feelings in very short spurts. So you will see children who can go about they can get up, go to school, go to their sports, go do whatever they're doing. And it's usually when they're overwhelmed in any way. So, for example, in schools, when they have a lot of work that maybe they don't, that they can't concentrate, because bereavement affects concentration. And they can become very upset in that moment, or at home, particularly when they're tired or hungry. And very often they swing into this. I mean, some people call it puddle jumping, but they can become extraordinarily upset, sometimes very angry, banging the door, don't want to talk, leave me alone, all of those kind of things. That's when we get most calls. And parents think that something is wrong with their child, and that child needs to go either straight into counselling the next day. But what we're able to, because we support parents supporting their bereaved child or supporting their child at a time of parental separation, when that's unpacked for parents and you explain, actually this is quite healthy, because a child's brain can only deal with so much difficult feelings, and in those moments they are beginning to deal with those difficult moments, that is actually quite healthy. Because if I could just divert for a moment, the more modern theories of bereavement and loss are very much around making sense of their changed world. And so if we look at theorists over in America, Robert Niedermayer and Linda Machen, very different to years ago when the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and the stages, as if there were specific stages and steps, that there was a beginning, a middle and an end. But actually, the more modern theories will say that actually this person, their parent is part of them. They're never going to forget their parent. And it's about making a new meaning of life without that parent. Mm. And for many children, that's when death really starts to become very clear to them. And so going home when mom isn't there or when dad isn't there, and how has life changed around that? And they begin to really realise this is what it means when a person is dead. Some children, younger children, think, yeah, but my mom will be back. Mm. She won't miss Christmas or my birthday. So there's all of these. So
then they can also begin to have quite irrational, if you like, fear about the other parent.
That's exactly it, yes. And so we would support parents to be able to say, well, actually, I intend being around for a very long time. Mm. I'm eating my food, I'm looking after myself, and I intend to be around to see you graduating or married with your own children, and give that reassurance. And if anything was ever to happen to me, you have auntie or uncle or whatever. That is really important. And everything we do through the Rainbows Group support is around helping children to adjust and to adapt to their changed world. And the real difference is, for us as adults, we tend to worry about maybe mortgages, maybe somebody has to go back to work, all the big kind of macro factors. But children miss the little things. They miss the parent reading a story at night. They miss going with mom to the shops. But children tend, and they, that piece of going over and back. But that doesn't mean to say that they are not, that physically, they very often, that's how it shows. I've a pain. They're not able to say, I miss my mummy. They'll say, I have a pain in my tummy, or I have a sore toe, or I have a sore head. Mm. Or maybe children who got on with each other now are finding that space very, very difficult. Or for some children in school, and we do a lot of work with schools, is trying to say, and the World Health Organization has very specific research that constantly, you see, low energy is part of bereavement. It's for both adults, but also for children. Mm. And yet children are going back into the school routine with the 11 o'clock break out in the yard, etc. And sometimes they really struggle with that, and they can't concentrate, particularly on higher order thinking.
And also they don't know how to name that.
Exactly.
They don't know how to name.
We're trying to work with the with, for example, any professionals that are supporting children in this space.
And that brings me to my final question. You mentioned earlier that Rainbows is a peer support group, and they're not therapists, they're not level three professionals. And you also mentioned that children who've suffered a bereavement, and in particular as a result of suicide with a parent, need that extra help with a psychologist or psychiatrist or psychotherapist.
Yes.
But through that play and talk therapy, can Rainbow still be beneficial to them?
Well, so Rainbows is seen as, and we're funded because of this, as an early intervention. So this is a first step. Mm. For many children, that's all they might ever need. They may come back into a group at another time, but there are some children who may have more complicated cumulative losses in their life. What's very important is how the family unit is after that bereavement. How is everybody coping? Is everybody, are those children, because sometimes maybe adults mightn't be emotionally available, or maybe a child has maybe other issues that will compound and complicate that bereavement, and they may need further help. So we have very clear guidelines. Some children may come into a group, and the group, that setting mightn't be for them. But very often, because there is so few services readily and particularly free, parents want their child to go, and then, but we make every effort. And through Thusla now, there has been some extra funding to be able to support a child or a young person who may need that one-to-one therapeutic support that you mentioned. And that's been a really great benefit to us.
And just like to finish on something that I've shared with you before, I know, but that a very senior clinical psychologist that I know well, who works with a lot of children, and I asked her about, can Rainbows really help when it comes to children who've lost a parent, which is such a huge traumatic event? Yes. And she said, what Rainbows does is magic, because what it gives them is something I can't, which is a room full of children their own age that have been through the same thing. Yes. And if anything, she said they benefit from doing that first before they ever come to the...
Yes.
So that was a really interesting insight into how powerful peer support can be for each other with them.
Yeah. I do think a big factor going forward, though, is supporting parents to support their own children.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fear, particularly around the word suicide
and
bereavement itself. And most people, and a lot of people working frontline with children, are afraid to mention, even to talk about the death. But actually, the biggest thing of all is to have that loss acknowledged. Just even, I'm so sad to hear that your dad died. Mm. Not the cause of the death, but just even to have that peace is really very important. And supporting parents, because sometimes parents panic because they want
protection,
the very best for their children. But actually they can do so much. There is, I can just, if it's okay to mention, there is a new book by the HSE and the Office of Suicide Prevention. It's called Safe Harbour. Mm. And it can be accessed on the HSE website and the
suicide prevention office
suicide
as well.
Prevention. And that can be very helpful. And it is about a dad who takes his own life. And then now they have just produced one where a mom has taken her own life. And there's parental guidance in that. Now, that's not for all parents, but it may help. There's so few resources out there that can be accessed for free. I think it's important to mention that.
And on that note, Anne, how can people get in touch or find out about a Rainbows group near them if they need one?
The best place to go is to Rainbows Ireland, the website, rainbowsireland.ie. If anybody wants to contact me after this, just ask that they heard this and leave their name and number and I will get back to them.
Great. Anne Staunton, CEO of Rainbows Ireland, thank you so much.
You got so much to do. It's got you feeling blue. Put a little flag in your day.
Subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.